Just a stranger. You had a phone.
And in conclusion,
that's
a jury idea. You know, they. I think it's pretty obvious. I think scientifically that life begins at conception. You know, and it is part of the Republican platform that they're pro-life. And I'm not a Republican. And I don't vote one way or the other because of the platform, but I am a Republican because they have that on their platform, and we share that idea. So I don't feel like whether I was religious or not religious, or whether I'm a Republican or not a Republican, the scientific fact is life starts at conception. And if you have an abortion for whatever reason, you can't get around the fact that you're going to end a human life, an innocent human life. So I don't feel like I have any other option except to support this ordinance. I totally agree with it. And I'm sorry if that upsets some people, but I think that's following the science. You know, we're always told to follow the science. That's the science. And that's what I'm going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff Thousand.
Y'all know I don't keep my comments short. I want to say I will be supporting this ordinance of this resolution, and I appreciate Justice Kendrick bringing it before us. I'll address some of the things that you was said today before I go into what I prepared for remarks on this. I know people who've been traumatized after having an abortion also, who look back for years and years and live the rest of their lives in regret. And that trauma is real also. I feel for you ladies who have experienced loss. I too lost a child, not to abortion, but she was shot and killed to the party. And I understand the pain of losing a child. And I regret that sometimes we have to take a stand that is going to cause trauma in one direction or another. But know that abortion causes trauma also. For many people, I agree with, I believe what Justice Strange said there a few minutes ago, and maybe Justice Rowland said it also, that the Republican platform does say that we value life, that we want to preserve life, and particularly the unborn. And that's not why I'll be voting for this tonight. It is one of the reasons that led me to run on a Republican ticket, though, the fact that we do agree on that view. Some of you implied that males can't or shouldn't speak on this. Some of the reasons you used were that we don't care about life after children are born, that we don't reach out or get involved with people who are going through struggles. Well, I'll tell you, my wife and I did adopt foster children 20 years ago. I have lost a child, like I said before. I teach school and I drive a school bus, and I work with kids daily. And almost daily, if not daily, I reach out to those children who I can see the looks on their faces now that we are on mass, thankfully. They're struggling. This is something I do every day, is reach out to kids and try to console them, try to give them guidance and counseling. That's just to address some of the concerns that you brought up there. Oh, one more thing. I am a male, but I have five sisters. I had two daughters. I have a wife, a mother-in-law, my grandmothers, all of whom were vehemently pro-life from the time I can remember. I don't remember a single one of them ever being pro-choice. So I represent those ladies in my life also. Now for what I prepared, and I warn you it's a little long. In 2019, House Bill 2491 was introduced in the Virginia legislature. This bill would have declared all second trimester abortions legal. It would have effectively made all third trimester abortions legal up until birth, and effectively even after birth, by denying medical care to save the life of a baby born alive during a late-term abortion. Governor Ralph Northam, when asked by a host on a local radio station, claimed the bill would permit third trimester abortions when the fetus is severely deformed or not viable. But here, I'll read from the actual text of the bill that was introduced by them. says section when abortion or termination of pregnancy lawful after second trimester of pregnancy. In the second subsection under there, they struck the requirement for a physician to have two consulting physicians certify and enter in the hospital record that the woman, in the physician's medical opinion, and based on the physician's best clinical judgment, the continuation of pregnancy is likely to result in the death of the woman or impair the mental or physical health of the woman. So previously, three physicians had to agree on that, and this bill would have struck that and required just a single physician to make that call. That subsection says in the physician's best clinical judgment, the continuous pregnancy is likely to result in the death of the woman, or, and this is the key, previously, before this was introduced, the law said substantially or and irremediably impair the mental health or physical health of the woman. And this proposed amended law was going to strike the words substantially and irremediably impair. In subsection 3, which required measures for life support for the product of such abortion or miscarriage, where it said must be available, the word must was changed to shall and utilized if there is any clearly visible evidence of viability. When we look at subsections 2 and 3 in this passage above, striking substantially and irremediably, changing the word to must to shall are the keys to see what was going on here. The keys to understand the true evil inherent in the political movement to remove restrictions on abortion. If a physician decided having a baby could cause the expectant mother to be sad, that could be construed as impairing her mental health. Effectively striking substantially and irremediably makes abortion available to all third trimester pregnancies. From what I've read, changing the word must to shall here has the effect of removing the mandate to provide life support for, in the words of the ordinance or the law, the proposed law, the product of such abortion. That means a baby born alive, but referred to in the legal language here as the product of such abortion. A baby in these circumstances, a newborn, live human baby, could have legally been left to die on a cold metal table while medical professionals in close proximity withheld potentially life-saving treatment. How can anyone consider such heinous acts anything less than cold-blooded murder? That's beyond me. The Virginia abortion bill Governor Northam lied about, fact-checkers for USA Today and Reuters also lied about, would have, in fact, legalized the killing by refusing to provide life-saving medical care to babies born alive if an abortion provider deemed that allowing the baby to live would impair the mental health, make her sad, of the mother. Fortunately, that bill didn't pass, but that does not mean the fight is over. In 2020, Virginia abortion-loving activists and legislators fought another round. This time they passed legislation that removed restrictions on abortions, including a requirement to conduct an ultrasound to determine gestational age, a requirement to offer the expectant mother an opportunity to view the ultrasound, a requirement for a healthcare professional to inform the expectant mother of details of the procedure's risks, benefits, and alternatives, a requirement to offer the expectant mother the opportunity to speak with the doctor performing the abortion to ask questions prior to the procedure, a requirement to offer the expectant mother an opportunity to view printed informational material describing alternatives and available help that might lead her to rethink her decision to abort the baby, along with requirements to offer more information that could potentially change the mother's mind and make her decide not to abort the baby. This year, Virginia struck down a prohibition on state health insurance plans paying for abortion. You can bet the 2019 legislation to allow denial of life-saving care to newborn products of such abortion, to allow the killing of newborn human babies, will again rear its ugly head, and I expect it sooner rather than later. The organization Center for American Progress lists six states other than Virginia as passing pro-abortion legislation this year. This fight is nowhere near over. Right now, the front may seem far from Arkansas, 1,000 miles to the east and 1,000 or more miles to the west. But our state legislature passed some of the strongest pro-life laws in the country this term. 20 other states passed pro-life legislation as well. Preemptive efforts to support such pro-life gains are exactly what we need in Faulkner County and the rest of Arkansas, or we will soon be the target of activist attempts to pass legislations that will leave newborn products of such abortion, newborn babies born alive to die on cold metal tables, denied life-saving medical care. We are in a culture war, ladies and gentlemen, right here, right now, a war for the very soul of this country. Will we be a country that values human life, all human life, or will we be a country that eventually creates some sort of scale that measures the value of an individual? Those opposed to this resolution frame their arguments against saving the lives of unborn babies with red herrings about taking care of those who are already born. The measuring stick they invariably use revolves around material wealth and socioeconomic status. Listen carefully to their arguments, because what I hear them saying is that life isn't worth living unless you're wealthy or healthy. If you don't have perfect parents, or if you experience pretty much any discomfort or pain in life, I disagree totally and completely. As a young child, poverty was my life, and I knew many others right there with me. Today, I teach poor kids, and I drive them to school on my school bus. In every interaction with them, I try to give them hope. I've had students whose parents were poor, students whose parents were addicts, students whose lives were defined by chaos, stress, and strife, who turned out to be responsible, great people and parents. Not all did, but they all deserved a chance not to be aborted because someone deemed their certainty to face hardship sufficient reason to not bring them into this world. This resolution won't force a single woman to give birth or to give up any rights bestowed by Roe v. Wade. But it will declare this court's desire and intent, which I'm convinced is also the desire and intent of a majority of Faulkner County residents, to honor, respect, and encourage the protection of the right to life of every human being, including the unborn. I wholeheartedly support Justice Kendrick's resolution to declare Faulkner County a pro-life county, and I encourage my fellow justices to support it as well. Thank you.
Justice Floyd, comment?
Thank you, Judge. Yes, I do have a comment. I will be supporting this resolution.
Justice Brown, comment?
I have a few questions. Hopefully, Councilor Murphy can chime in. I'm sorry, catching unawares. Counselor, does this proposed resolution in any way change the law as it applies to abortion in Faulkner County?
It does not.
Does this proposed resolution in any way impact a person's ability to get an abortion here in Arkansas?
It does not on its face.
So in other words, this resolution does not in any way impact a person's right to get an abortion.
It does not impact their right.
I am personally pro-life. That is not because I'm ignorant or some religious person tells me that, so I have to do it, believe that lock, stock, and barrel. It's not because I consider myself and am a Republican and that is what my party has said. I am pro-life for a very simple reason. And I think this reason is lost in the emotions, the hyperbole, the name-calling, anytime there's the abortion debate. In my opinion, where you come down on abortion is how do you view a fetus? That's all it boils down to. I very much dislike in the abortion debate that when someone says, well, I am pro-life, oh, well, you're a misogynist. You want to control women's bodies. Get out of my uterus. You don't want me to have an autotomy because you want to lord over me. That's not the case. If there was a way to take a baby out of a woman's body who doesn't want the baby and put it in artificial womb so it can grow, I'm for it. Great. Make that choice. But the fact of the matter is, it's not the choice. And in my opinion, life starts at conception. A fetus is a human being. And so that's why I'm pro-life, because I see abortion as tantamount to murder. But I also see the other side of that point, which is people who are pro-choice don't see the fetus as a human being. They see it as, something less, as tissue, as a seed, as a potential, but as long as you stop it, it doesn't become. And I can see that point as well. I don't agree with it, but I see that point. And so I just don't buy into this whole us versus them in the abortion debate. But the simple matter is that, in my opinion, a fetus and zygote, whatever you want to call it, that is a human life. I think that the reason why our society is so embroiled in this turmoil is the fact that abortion, the right to an abortion, was created by unelected judges in Washington, D.C. You know, it bypassed the political process. And that's why this country wrestles with this to today. That's why every time a Supreme Court nomination is open, it is a knockdown, drag-out fight. I don't believe that's the way this country was designed. I don't think that's what the Founding Fathers intended, but that is where we're at now. And so that's why these issues come up. I think that it's also important to look at the facts. There was a lot of discussion this evening about, essentially the if someone is raped. And I remember one of the comments from the speakers that stuck out to me was someone said something to the effect of that they something about, you know, saying that women just say they're raped as a joke or something to that fact, you know, something of that nature. And so there's a lot of these comments revolving around that and the reason for the abortion. The Gottmaker Institute, which is a pro-choice organization, has done studies from time to time. They did a study in 1987, they did a study in 2004. And in their analysis, the reason for an abortion listed by a woman, the most important reason for a woman's decision to get an abortion of the surveyed sample that they surveyed, 0.5% said it was because they were raped. 3% said it was because of the life of the fetus, and 4% said it was because of threats to themselves. I personally don't like abortion, but I can see carving out for situations such as that. And most of the abortion laws do carve out situations, you know, exceptions for situations such as that. But the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of the reason, 74% for wanting to have an abortion, was because of reasons such as wasn't a good time of their life to have it, or it would have not been convenient at that point, things of that nature. And I just don't see how that's enough of a reason to terminate human life. I think it should also be mentioned, someone mentioned that Arkansas was one of the most pro-life states. According to the Pew Research Center in their latest survey, Arkansas is the most pro-life state, with 60% of Arkansans saying that abortion should be illegal in absolutely all or almost all occasions, and only 38% saying that abortion should be legal or legal in most situations. So I think it's clear that the people of the state, over 60% are against abortion. I believe that number probably tracks with the constituents of my district. And I have a duty to those constituents to vote in accordance with their belief. And I believe that they are also pro-life. This resolution does not do anything to impact the right to an abortion. All it merely says is that we in Faulkner County say that we wish to promote and protect dignity and humanity of all persons at all stages of life, from conception to natural death. Nowhere in this ordinance, this resolution, do I read that this says, you know, we are going to do anything to abortion law or rights or anything like that. It just simply says that it is our policy to promote and protect the dignity of humanity from life until natural death. I don't have an issue with the ordinance at all. I support it.
Yes, Higgins, last one over
there. No comment, Your Honor.
Justice Kennedy, you're a sponsor of it. Do you have any last comments before we take a vote?
No, sir, I do not. Call the roll.
Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
No.
Pickett.
No.
Roland.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Hold resolution 21-05 does pass. This afternoon, the budget committee met in session, and they have proposed a resolution or ordinance. 2131 for consideration tonight. And what is your pleasure?
All right, go ahead.
Judge, I move that the court approve proposed ordinance 21, put on the table for consideration proposed ordinance 2131.
Second.
It's been made and seconded. Approval of proposed ordinance 2131. Counselor, would you read the ordinance?
Sure. Proposed ordinance 21-31, sponsored by the Budget Finance Committee, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 20-32, December 17, 2020. Section 1, $2,204.17 is transferred from within the E-Crash Highway Safety Grant Fund, 3525, from Expenditure Code 4004, Machinery and Equipment, to Expenditure Code 2002, Small Equipment.
You've heard the ordinance read. Floor is now open for any discussion on proposed ordinance 21-31.
A little background information, Judge. The Sheriff's Office determined that it needed to shift some line up below the line items among accounts before October bills came due, and Miss Woolley brought the ordinance at the beginning of the hour. It's a routine fund shift from funds below the line. I recommend that the committee approve it.
Any other discussion?
Call for vote.
Madam Secretary, will you call the vote?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson. Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Proposed ordinance 21-31 is approved. 21-31. All right. Next item on the agenda that I have talks about appointments. I know of none at this time, other than we did create a community animal shelter development committee to move forward with the concept for the animal shelter and all, and they've had one meeting, and that's it. And Justice Higgins is chairman of it, and a group across the county are involved in that committee. Announcements. Anybody have announcements? I have one. Let everybody say, a county fair is going on Saturday morning. Pretty good time at 10 o'clock. If you want to see the eighth wonder of the county, come to the county fair. Bring your pocketbook and help the kids. It happens each year, and we're going to support you continue. And I'm going to suggest this. Taxes probably due before we meet again. Volunteer animal control taxes should be voluntarily paid. We got to make things work. But I'm encouraging folks to pay the volunteer tax. I really am. We sit on the sidelines too long with the animal shelter. It's got to run. And they're working hard for grants and stuff. Another announcement?
One announcement.
Yes?
I would like to announce on behalf of our resident, Dee Sanders, that she's holding a suicide event in Faulkner County in Conway on September the 30th in the park. And we know we had the tragic incident with the high school student recently here in Conway, and even a serious attempt in my own family of a student, middle school student. But we want to, I think it relates to that sanctity of life that's been mentioned so much tonight. So suicide, you can Google and get more information. Thank you.
The date again?
September 30th.
Where was
where
it?
Simon Park.
Folks in Russellville, Arkansas, right now, they have on Sunday afternoon, they have four different meeting sites to talk about suicide. Our coroner Sunday got to go to a 14-year-old girl suicide. She could, this past Sunday. And you know, it's tough. In the environment we're in, it's depression, everything. Suicide stuff. Anything, anybody else have in now?
Maybe we adjourn.
Let's go home. Thanks, everybody, for your